Welcome to Fat Geeky Reviews. My name is Brendan. Hello, everybody. Sorry it has been such a long time since I've done a podcast. It's been almost 4 weeks since I've done one, and I apologize for that. Last one I did, of course, was my Avengers Endgame full spoiler review, and honestly, I have been crazy busy starting my new career. And I'm going through training right now. It's like 6 weeks of training, so I have been crazy busy, and I've been so tired on the weekends, kind of neglecting all my other chores at home and stuff like that. I haven't gotten around to doing a podcast, and I wanted to make sure that I got one done for you guys. So I saw Detective Pikachu, and I want to do a full review on it. But I knew I couldn't do it alone, so I brought in a friend who's going to help me review Detective Pikachu for you guys today. I did the interview kind of separately, so I wanted to do this kind of intro. My friend Ray, I phoned a friend. She lives in Texas, and I wanted to get her on, and we could review Detective Pikachu together. The thing is that when Ray and I get together, we talk for a very long time. So we talk so long about Detective Pikachu and Pokemon and other stuff. We ended up talking for almost 3 hours, but I recorded down the podcast down to about an hour and a half, which I thought was a little long. So I'm going to split the interview into two different podcasts. And today we're going to listen to part one of that conversation with Ray. But I want to thank you guys for downloading the podcast and sticking with me, even though I haven't been doing podcasts lately. And I promise you guys that I have a lot of plans for future podcasts. So some of the things I'm thinking about doing, we're going to do two different podcasts about Detective Pikachu, because I'm a huge Pokemon fan, and so is my friend Ray, which is why I had her on the podcast. And then I'm going to be doing a review of the CW shows, and full season reviews of The Flash, Arrow, and Supergirl. And we're also going to do a season review finale podcast about Doom Patrol. And then, of course, I know there's a lot of big, fat, geeky news out there for us to cover, so that's going to be a future podcast as well. So I promise you guys that we'll get a lot done, and I promise I won't go – I try not to go this long again without doing another podcast. But we're going to take a quick break here, and because this is kind of a long podcast today, I'll keep the intro nice and short, so we'll take a quick break, and then we'll be back with my friend Ray reviewing Detective Pikachu. Stay tuned. All right, and we're back. We are ready to talk about Detective Pikachu. And I, you know what? I knew I couldn't do this alone. So I brought in a friend. So phone a friend. And this friend is my Pokemon go-to person. She is so knowledgeable about Pokemon. In fact, she is so knowledgeable about Pokemon, she lived in freaking Japan and went to the Pokemon place there. Like, she is all about Pokemon. Ray, welcome.
Hi.
To the podcast.
Thank you. What's up?
How's it going?
I'm good, thank you. How are you today?
I'm good.
All right. So
you saw the Pokemon movie, right?
Oh, of course I did. Absolutely.
Of course. And that's why you're here.
Yes.
So what did you think of the Pokemon movie? Just give me your general reaction, then we'll kind of go through it a little bit.
Sure. So it would be disingenuous to say that I didn't go into the movie with any expectations. What I did go into it was like, okay, I'm probably going to enjoy this. They would, in my head, I was thinking, oh, they'd have to really screw up for me to hate this movie. And so in that extent, the movie totally met my expectations in terms of plot and character building and the story itself. I thought, oh, this is exactly what I thought it would be. And it was exactly what I wanted.
Yeah, you know, I was actually pleasantly surprised about the plot. And I really didn't know a lot of it going into it. When I first, I first saw the trailer, I was like, really? This is how they're going to do Pokemon, the first live-action Pokemon? They're going to make a talking Pikachu that only one guy can hear, and I didn't really know what the plot was going to be, and I didn't really even think about it until I saw the movie again. And
yeah,
I was pleasantly surprised of how well put together the plot was.
Yeah, yeah. So the thing about the thing about Detective Pikachu, because I'm not gonna lie, I thought with all of the plots that Pokemon has had within the last, you know, 20 odd years, why would they choose Detective Pikachu? And so, because I'm not sure if you're aware, but there's an actual game. There is a Detective Pikachu game that was released in February of 2016 in Japan. And it was released in March last year. It looks like worldwide. The thing is like, I remember hearing that this game was coming. And I remember thinking like, oh, that's so interesting. I wonder if it's going to be a little bit like the Pokemon Ranger series, which was like a spin-off genre of our, you know, what we know and love as our core Pokemon games. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, but then because at the time that the release was building up, it was all in Japanese. And because I low-key avoid spoilers, I didn't really see anything on the US side. And so when the movie was announced, I thought, why are they making this game into a movie? So I definitely share your feelings in, you know, of all of the storylines they could have chosen for their first live action Pikachu movie, or any live action Pokemon movie, actually. Why would they choose this? And honestly, I think I'm still at a loss as to even trying to explain it.
Did you play the Detective Pokemon game?
I didn't. I saw it at Target the other. So when it came out in Japan, I was still living in Japan, but I was getting ready to move, and there's no way it would have played on my 3DS. Mm. And in March of 2018, I was in the middle of one of my many cross-country moves that I am now famous for. And I just, you know, I just kind of forgot about it. I hadn't really read up on anything. I feel like it didn't get a lot of hype as a game. I feel like I'm looking at the Wikipedia page here, and I just, you know, nothing about it really reminds me of it. Like, oh, I don't remember reading about that. I don't remember seeing a trailer for it, because it would have come out in Japan while I was still living there. And, you know, normally in the Pokemon Center, when like a big event is happening, there's like themed Pikachus, or there's special merchandise in the shop. And I don't remember seeing any of that. And I think part of the reason could have been, I might be mistaken. Let me just do some fact checking real fast. I think part of the problem could have been that there was an anniversary going on that year. Mm. For something.
Was it 25 years of Pokemon or something like that?
It was the 20th anniversary for Pokemon. That's why 20th. Yeah, so in 2016 was their 20th anniversary. So, and it looks like February 27th is obviously Pokemon Day.
Right.
This was released February 3rd. So that would probably make sense as to why the game itself doesn't register. Everyone was gearing up for the 20th anniversary events.
Mm, okay.
Yeah. So that's because I was like, there must have been some reason why this game didn't, you know, why nobody really remembers this game. And that's exactly why, it's because everybody was focused on the 20th anniversary.
So it makes me wonder why, because the Pokemon Company helped fund this film.
Yeah.
So it makes me wonder why and notwithstanding, I thought the movie was really good.
Yeah.
As far as the plot was concerned, I thought it was actually put together quite well. It just makes me wonder why they picked this over any of the other storylines they could have had, or any type of storylines that could have had potential sequels.
Yeah.
Which confused me a little bit, but
I would have almost understood, you know, if they didn't want to go with the core characters, because if we're being honest, I think Japan has released an animated Pokemon movie every year since, I think, 1999? Like, there is a library of animated Pokemon movies, like Ash Ketchum gets around.
Well, they do that with, like, whatever the big new Pokemon's gonna be, right? Like,
yeah,
they did it with Lugia, they did it with some of the other ones. There's just like the big specialty, like rare Pokemon.
Yeah, and I think this year it's Mewtwo is supposed to return. Mewtwo's return is, I think, the big one this year. And awesome. So, yeah. And one of them, was it 2017? It might have been 2017 when they released, oh, it might have been 2016, when they released Pikachu, or is it Pokemon I Choose You or Pikachu I Choose You, where it was literally a whole movie retelling like the first five or six episodes of the original Pokemon series.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I did not watch it. I've heard interesting things. It's on my list of things to do. I think I saw
it on Hulu or something like that.
I think it's still on Netflix along with the original series. And so it's definitely on my list of things to watch. But I was wondering, like, okay, did they choose this movie because they didn't want the same retelling of what the animated series is doing? They didn't want to go through the trouble of finding the perfect character, right, to play Ash Ketchum.
Right. Yeah, that could be it too.
Yeah, and you know, because he is so iconic. But then why choose Detective Pikachu? Why not choose Pokemon Ranger? I mean, those games were fairly popular. They're different. They don't involve the core characters. Why not choose one of like Pokemon Dungeon? You know, if you're going to have a movie about Pokemon, make it all about Pokemon, you know,
right.
either have subtitles or, you know, we can understand Pokemon in this particular movie.
Right.
So when I was watching the credits for Detective Pikachu, they did say that the story of the movie was based on the story of the game. And so I looked it up a little bit ago, and it's true. So the game and the story pretty much runs parallel to the plot of the movie. But again, it still begs, I mean, did they choose it because it's Pikachu? Like, I feel like there's a lot of questions that we either didn't get answers to, or we might not get answers to, or we might have gotten the answers and just missed them. Because that is pretty on par for me, because I avoid reading things because I don't want to be spoiled about them.
Well, yeah, well, Pikachu, you can't do your first Pokemon movie without Pikachu. That's the face of the franchise.
Absolutely.
When people see Pikachu, they immediately know it's Pokemon. If you were to show a Ludicolo to somebody, they're going to be like, what's that?
Right. You know? They might recognize it as a Pokemon, but they're not going to be like, eh.
Right. Or, you know, throw Wartortle on there. They're going to be like, what, is that Squirtle? Like, what is that?
Yeah. Like, what is that? I definitely agree. Yeah.
So let's, for those who haven't actually seen the movie yet, or maybe are on the fence about seeing the movie, let's kind of go over the plot a little bit. So, the basis of the movie is that it's about this guy who unknowingly at the beginning of the movie, he attempts to perhaps catch his first Pokemon, but he's older than your typical as when you become a Pokemon trainer. And we learn that he is not close to his dad, and his dad perhaps, you know, spoilers. And again, for people maybe listening to this, not knowing if they want to listen to spoilers or not, but this is going to be a spoiler filled episode. So, but he finds out that his father passes away, and he goes to what I think is called Rhyme City, right?
That is correct. Yeah.
Right. Rhyme City. And his dad is a police detective, and he goes to the apartment and runs into essentially what is his dad's Pokemon partner, Pikachu.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So, and then they kind of, basically the plot of the movie, he's trying to figure out what happened to his dad.
Right. With the help of this Pikachu that he can understand suddenly. And he, you know, they're both very confused about it. It's that part makes, I like how they played that part off, because of course you'd be confused. You know, suddenly right. You can understand what this Pokemon is saying.
Right, because what we learned through the movie is that the way the Pokemon understand humans is through feeling.
Right.
They can feel what the Pokemon trainer or the human is thinking, and they might be able to understand, especially during like Pokemon battles or whatever. They can understand what a quick attack is or whatever.
Sure, absolutely.
Essentially, but obviously they can't understand the Pokemon. You know, we hear Pika Pika, or however the Pokemon talks. That's what we hear. But this guy what was his name? Tim in the movie?
His name is Tim Goodman. That's correct.
Tim Goodman. Yeah, Tim Goodman, played by Justice Smith, I believe, did a fantastic job, I thought, in this movie.
I really liked the actor.
I'm pretty sure it's Justice Smith.
I'm so bad with, I think you're right. Let's see. Goodness. Oh, I can't. Hold on.
Okay.
I was trying to look it up. Are you serious? Apparently I'm very bad at Googling this right now.
I'm pretty sure it's Justice Smith. But anyway, you look all stall. He has this relationship with Pokemon. He doesn't really like Pokemon. He had kind of a tragedy when he was a kid, right when he was about to become a trainer, and it kind of put him off from ever wanting to be a Pokemon trainer.
Yeah. And it is Justice Smith, so well done.
Okay, yeah. And he does a really good job of, like, really playing off, like, man, I don't like Pokemon, man. They're Pokemon, they're here, but, you know, I'm not really interested. And you know what? The beginning of the movie, where he was with his friend, where his friend gave him the Pokeball for the first time, he tried to catch a Cubone at the beginning of the movie. And the Cubone was crying and whining and stuff like that. And then got pissed off, and he tried to catch the Pokemon. It was cool because there isn't opportunity in this movie to catch Pokemon, so they had to do something at the beginning of the movie to kind of bring in that normalcy that we know of catching Pokemon with Pokeball. So he tries to catch that Cubone and doesn't catch it, and the Cubone ends up using Bone Meringue.
Yeah, and tries to, you know, is fighting back, of course.
Right, ground type. And it's funny how his friend was like, yeah, I don't think you'd be a good at water type or fire type, but ground type would be good for you.
Yeah, the amount of thought that his friend put into the whole process, like, and that's something that, you know, I would love to talk about a little bit later, is just the amount of character development and world building that we saw in the movie. But yeah, the fact that his friend had apparently spent so much time thinking about what the perfect type for Tim would be was really just really well done. Perfect, honestly.
Right. And so as we move along in the plot, like we said earlier, he learns that his dad passes away and he goes to Rhyme City. Now, Rhyme City is not a city that we know in any of the games.
Yes. Because
we both haven't played the Detective Pikachu game, so we really don't know what's in that game. But Rhyme City is a city that, and correct me if I'm wrong, the city itself is a place that was created by, I can't remember the character's name now, Howard.
Go ahead and keep talking, but I'll find
it. Played by Bill Nighy from... Yeah. He's in a bunch of movies, a famous British actor, and I'm surprised they even got him in the movie. But he basically created a city to where Pokemon and people could live together. It's a city free of Pokemon battles. It's a city free of Pokemon trainers. Really, like, everybody has, like, a partner Pokemon that just kind of go with them. But they work together in harmony. So we see imagery throughout the city of like a Machoke is directing traffic around a Snorlax that's like in the way.
The rendering on the Snorlax's fur was really, really surprising. Because I'm not sure the last Pokemon game that you played, but I've been playing Ultra Sun and Ultra Sun recently, and you know, they've done a lot of really good work in the games when they've been designing Pokemon, like little tufts of fur, so that you understand, oh, this thing isn't like just a completely smooth ball. So seeing such a fuzzy Snorlax was like, oh, that was, I was not expecting that.
You know what? And I didn't even think about it at the time. You know, it just seemed kind of natural to me because the Snorlax, I knew it was a Snorlax.
Sure.
But actually, I didn't even put that together. And I'm glad you said that, because now that I think back on it, I'm like, yeah, that's Snorlax aren't fuzzy in the game.
Yeah, It was really interesting because there were obviously, like, you know, certain Pokemon that looked almost exactly like they did in the game. And like obviously Pikachu, we know that Pikachu is fuzzy, but also when you look at the character design, you know, from the games and everything, Pikachu does have like these little bits on his fur where, you know, you're like, oh, of course he's covered in fur. So you're expecting him to be fuzzy, but of course they didn't do anything like that to Snorlax. And it's like,
Right.
oh, you are so fuzzy. Like, no wonder people want to sleep on you.
Exactly.
Ugh.
And we see the Pokemon working together with these humans, right? So
Yeah.
we see imagery like on television of Squirtles working with the firefighters
Yeah.
and stuff like that. And actually.
I thought that was a really great callback to like the Squirtle Squad
Oh yeah, from the
from
original
the anime.
series.
Yeah.
That's funny. I didn't even think about that. But yeah, and it was funny because one of the Squirtle actually fell over. I don't know if you just caught that in the film,
I
but
didn't.
as they were showing it on like it was like a TV within the movie or whatever, and they showed like the commercial for the Squirtles. One of the Squirtles actually fell over on its shell.
That's adorable.
It was pretty funny. I caught that in the movie. But yeah, so the Rhyme City. He goes to Rhyme City. Tim goes there to figure out what happened to his dad. He talks to the police lieutenant. And he goes to his dad's apartment to kind of figure out what happened. And he runs into the girl. When I can't remember the girl's name off the top of my head.
Catherine Newton plays Lucy Stevens.
Lucy Stevens, that's right. And she is an intern or a junior reporter at like the media center in Rhyme City.
Yes.
They call it CNM. M, not CNN, CNM, right?
Yeah, that's yeah, CN GNN, isn't it?
No, I thought it was CNM. Pretty sure.
They might have. Oh, I wonder if they changed it from the game then.
Oh, maybe.
So
And
we know it's some combination of G, C, and or N and M.
right. Anyway, she's like a junior reporter and she thinks she's like hot on the trail what happened to his dad. And that's where he runs into Pikachu. And I gotta say, I was very skeptical about Ryan Reynolds playing the voice of Pikachu.
Yes.
But
Yes.
after kind of midway through the movie, it almost seemed natural in a way to me. I don't know. What's your thought on that?
I wasn't unhappy. I was, it's such a strange, that is a very good question. Apparently I have not given it enough thought, but let me ruminate on it for just a second. So obviously we know Ryan Reynolds as, you know, Deadpool, and he's been doing a lot of these really interesting roles for a while. And so when I first saw that he was announced to play the voice of Pikachu, my first thought was, oh, this seems like a grab, you know, like they're going to grab the biggest name that they can. Why not grab Ryan Reynolds? But I agree. The first time, you know, when he started speaking and when, you know, watching the trailers and everything, I thought, well, you know, this might work. I don't know. I feel like they could have made a better choice for the voice, but honestly, at this, like literally this one moment, I couldn't tell you who would be better.
Right.
But it's a voice that grows on you, and I think he did that on purpose. He's not, you know, his as he speaks, it's very calm. Like it's he does very good voice acting work. Let's put it that way. It's a different voice than, you know, what he does for Deadpool. It's a different voice than, you know, for some of his other roles. It's like, okay, this will work for Pikachu. All right, you can continue. But I wish I could tell you, because I still think, even now, even knowing that yes, Ryan Reynolds did a good job, I think they could have chosen somebody a little bit better, but I couldn't tell you who that person is.
Yeah, and who knows how it would have ended out, how it would have ended differently. But I thought that Justice Smith, who plays Tim, he is such kind of a laid back kind of actor, and
Yeah.
it was kind of even when he kind of tried to be funny in the movie a little bit, he wasn't. He needed, I think, that veteran actorship from
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds in order
Yeah.
to kind of complete that role. I think Ryan kind of opened him up a little bit.
They played off each other really well, and it was nice to see the relationship developing between Tim and the Pikachu throughout the movie. And his character journey specifically was really fascinating. But we can we can get into that a little bit later, because I can really speak a lot about how I feel just in general about the characters and everything that happened. But let's go. Let's finish our original topic, which was what happens in this movie.
Oh, sure. So the plot. So after he meets Pikachu, Pikachu has lost his memory. Yeah. And they can't. They're obviously, we said already that they were both kind of put off, you know, confused on why they could understand each other. And, you know, they had that little cute scene that we saw in the trailer where they were outside and he was like, oh, can't anybody hear the Pikachu? Can't anybody hear the Pikachu?
Yeah.
And he asked that lady, he's like, oh, can't you hear the Pikachu? And she's like, oh, he's so cute. Pika, Pika. And then you hear just Pika, Pika.
Adorable.
And it was super cute. And it was, you know, and they're just, it's just a confusing moment. But to add to that, he finds in his dad's apartment a bottle of like purple liquid.
Right.
And he releases it and it like, you know, it affects him, and then it goes out and affects a bunch of Apom, and the Apom like get angry and go into like a rage and start attacking him and Pikachu.
Yes, that was super scary, honestly. But I'm glad that, and when I say super scary, I mean in the terms of, you know, you're immersed in this world, and it's a great reminder that Pokemon are still wild creatures and that they can, in fact, are fully capable of kicking your butt if they really wanted to.
Right, and Pikachu at this point doesn't remember how to use his powers.
Right.
So he's like, and all they have to go on is that underneath his hat, it says, if lost, return to Harry Goodman, who is his dad.
Right.
So that's how they knew to find, to both go to that apartment.
Yes.
And so we know that he's trying to find out what happened. So I guess we got to kind of rewind a little bit, because at the beginning of the movie, we see a lab in which Mewtwo is encased or enclosed in a bubble,
yeah,
type device, and he escapes. Something happens, something malfunctions, he escapes, and a car goes peeling away from the lab, and all we see is an explosion and the car flip over a bridge, which we learn that's how his dad, Tim's dad, dies.
Yes.
And the assumption is that Mewtwo kills him.
Yeah, and that's definitely the narrative we see on the TV as well.
Right. And so what happens is that he needs help trying to find what happened to his dad. He's not getting any help from you know, hit the police department. So him and Pikachu got to go kind of find out on their own what's happening. Right. And so they team up with the girl at the CNM, and she has a Psyduck,
yes,
which I thought was pretty funny throughout the movie, because they kept trying to calm the Psyduck down like they did in the anime.
Yeah.
Misty Psyduck.
Yeah.
Cause they were afraid that he was going to go, you know,
just, yeah,
the psychic powers.
Everything about the Psyduck was amazingly perfect. I really enjoyed the Psyduck.
And there was one more reference back to the original cartoon. Do you remember what it was?
There were a couple. Are you talking about in his bedroom when he was looking through his past things, or?
No, I'm talking about characters. I'm thinking about the Jigglypuff.
Oh, yes, of course, the Jigglypuff in doing karaoke, and she's been drawing all over people. She's very fuzzy.
Yes, yeah, Jigglypuff and adorable. Is also fuzzy.
Yes. I really enjoyed the placement of the different Pokemon.
Yes.
And obviously, Jigglypuff singing in kind of a bar / coffee shop was pretty perfect for her, I think.
Yeah. Which is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And so they find out through the girl that Harry had a contact at the docks because he was investigating that purple liquid.
Right.
And so they go to the docks where they run into Mr. Mime.
Mm-hmm.
And that scene was really funny. We can get that if you want. We can get that to that a little later, but
yeah, absolutely.
So they interrogate, and I'm using, I know this is a podcast, but I'm using air quotes. They interrogate Mr. Mime and find out that there's a bar, like an underground nightclub type of thing, that is the source of the purple liquid, which makes the Pokemon go into a rage.
Right.
And stuff like that. And they're doing, now this is a city, Rhyme City is a city devout of Pokemon battles.
So this
underground battle facility. And we go into this club and we see Gengar versus Blastoise.
That battle sequence was so cool.
It was.
We should definitely talk about that later.
So Gengar versus Blastoise, and he ends up, there's a lady inside of the club that texts out that the boy and the Pikachu are here. We don't know what that lady's involvement is yet. And he runs into the owner or the DJ or whoever the guy is at the nightclub who recognizes Pikachu.
Yes.
And at this point, Pikachu still doesn't really have a lot of memory. And he's like, that Pikachu, you know, scorched my jacket and hurt my Charizard.
Mm.
And Pikachu is like ready for a rematch with Charizard. He's like, I'm ready. I'm going. I'm going to fight. And they get into the arena, and the guy has a crap ton of that purple stuff. And he gives one to the Charizard, which enrages the Charizard. And Pikachu's like, Pika Pika.
He
curls up in the fetal position and goes, Pika Pika.
Yeah, and he has no idea. Like, he's so scared.
Right, and he doesn't have any powers. He's like, okay, I'm ready to use Electro Ball.
Yeah.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
Forgot how to use it.
Of course,
the nightclub kind of just gets destroyed, and he interrogates the guy a little bit, and all he says is that the doctor is the one who gives him the purple stuff, and that's all he says, right?
Right, right.
So from there, they got to kind of figure out where this thing is, and I don't quite remember how they figured out where the lab was.
Lucy had documentation she had gotten from the Sun, so the company that basically built and runs Rhyme City. The Sun and the father are, you know, they're the head of the company. And she said, I managed to access, I think his name is Roger. I think the son's name is Roger. She goes, I managed to access his laptop. And, you know, Tim's like, how did you do that? So I spilled coffee in his lap. And, you know, she, which is very resourceful. And then, you know, she ends up managing to, and she must work super fast because, you know, she starts laying out all of this information that she managed to get while he was off, you know, taking care of the coffee stain or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so she pulls up that information from his laptop.
Yeah.
And, you know, lays it all out on the table.
Yeah. And then they get in the car and they start driving to the lab.
Yes.
And they put Pikachu in the car seat, which is funny.
I really wonder where the car seat came from, because it's kind of obvious that Psyduck doesn't really need the car seat.
Yeah, why does Pikachu need the car
seat? Yeah, so, like, why is Pikachu in the car seat?
Why does she have a car seat?
Yeah, right? Like, there are so many unanswered questions. Like, did she borrow it from somebody? Where did it come from?
Why does Pikachu need it and Psyduck doesn't?
Notice how, though, he didn't I don't think he really complained about it, though. Well, maybe he did.
He mentioned it. He goes, why am I in a car seat?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, did he care that he was in a car seat? And he did. You're right. He did. So funny.
Part of the movie. They kept trying to tell Psyduck to calm down.
Yes, yes.
Calm down, buddy.
Calm down. Oh, I'm not going to rub your feet. Okay, fine. So you don't blow up the car.
All right. Give me your feet.
Yeah, give me your feet.
You get you massaging Psyduck's webbed
feet. The fact that Psyduck, like, conned him into rubbing its feet was hysterical.
That was great. I thought it was one of the bright spots of the movie. And there's not very many bright spots in this movie.
It is a very serious film, yeah.
It is, yeah. There's a lot of, you know, sad undertones to this movie, you know.
Yeah.
And what we didn't talk about is that the tragedy that befell Tim and why he didn't want to become a Pokemon trainer. I think it happened on the day he was supposed to start his journey as a Pokemon trainer.
Yeah, the day before.
Yeah. Mom passed away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, his dad kind of became distant, so he went to go live with his grandma, and he kind of just didn't care about Pokemon anymore.
Yeah. After
that. So that was that tragedy that kind of got revealed in the movie, was that his mom passed away. So a very sad movie. You know, this guy's like 21 years old or something like that. His mom passes away, and then he thinks his dad passed. You know, he gets this information that his dad dies in a car accident.
And yeah.
It's like, and then he has to join up with a Pokemon who he really doesn't like Pokemon. There's a reason he didn't like Pokemon. And he's forced to team up with this Pikachu to figure out what happened to his dad.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of, you know, this movie. So to have a spot in the movie where it's like pure Pokemon joy, to have a Pikachu in a car seat rubbing the feet of a Psyduck.
Yes.
And it may not be a scene where you think about it. That's not a scene in the movie that you remember off the top of your head. But then when we're going through it, we're like, oh, yeah, that was pretty funny, actually.
Yeah.
They're headed to the lab in the car, and they get there, and they find it abandoned because early in the movie we said Mewtwo escaped from the lab, so it's been kind of quarantined off. And they find out that the people at that lab were experimenting on Pokemon. We saw Greninja and we saw Torterra in the lab, right?
Yep.
And then they, you know, it's funny, it's crazy because you see the cameras following them around, so we know somebody's watching them.
Yeah.
And we figure out that it's Roger.
Correct.
Who's the son of the guy who made Rhyme City.
That's right.
And they end up kind of, oh, you know what? I think we skipped a big part of the movie.
Yeah, I think Tim Goodman meets with Howard Clifford.
Yes.
Before they go to the lab, because, and Howard like drops a bunch of hints that, oh, my son Roger might not be up to something, like might be up to no good.
Right.
And then, you know, your father was working for me and, you know, he discovered something and I, you know, it seems like you have some clues. So like, I really need you to finish what he started, which I thought was strange because obviously Tim Goodman is not any kind of like private eye or anything. And right. Yet, you know, this other guy's like, hey, you need to finish this.
Exactly. Just like,
what? Are you paying him money? Like, what the heck?
Oh, yeah. And so that's how they end up at the lab.
Yes.
And then they see, because what they do at Howard Clifford's office is he shows them a kind of digital recreation, like a hologram, like recreation of his father's car accident, which leads them to believe that his father is still alive. Because we see that Mewtwo shows up and it's believed that Mewtwo is the one that attacked the car. And then Mewtwo is just kind of hovering over. That's how Tim learns about Mewtwo is through Howard.
That's
like,
right.
This is Mewtwo. He was created off of, he's a human created Pokemon used from the DNA of a fossilized Mew. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And then that's when they go to the lab where Mewtwo escaped from to see if they could find more clues. And then they find a digital recreation of the accident. And then we see Roger, they're driving to the, you know, him and his like SEAL Team 6 or whatever are driving to go capture Tim and Lucy was her name, right?
Yeah, Lucy.
Lucy and Psyduck and Pikachu, he releases the Greninja there. And they have kind of a battle with the Greninja, and they run away and through the Torterra Garden, which is kind of crazy. And they're like, what's so special about these Torterra? They seem normal size to me.
Yes, that is a huge – who knew that, right, that would be like a huge hint for something that, you know, for later on. Like, that was really interesting.
Right. So they go running through the forest, and then all of a sudden, like, the earth starts to move.
Yes. So
they escape from the lab, and they're making a run for it, and the earth just immediately, and I was super confused about that at first.
Yeah.
I was like, why is like the earth splitting apart?
Yes. I thought, you know, cause Psyduck had released that big psychic wave. And I think you were supposed to think that at first, like when Psyduck released its power and, you know, shoved all of these Greninja off, you know, oh yeah, it caused some kind of rock slide or at, you know, some rock slide in the mountain or it's causing this problem.
Yeah. And that's then, right. They thought it was caused by Psyduck.
Yeah. And then the more you start watching it, the more I was like, oh no, this is something. Like, okay, so my first thought was, okay, there's no way I'd actually survive this, because I think at one point Lucy and Tim were like jumping, like trees were parallel, you know, or right. horizontal, and they're like jumping from tree trunk to tree trunk, and I'm like, man, I would not survive.
I'd slip and fall on my face, probably just running out of the laboratory.
Right? I'm like, there's no way I would have lived through this.
They are super athletic people.
I know. I like, really, Lucy, for a journalist, it makes sense. But like, for Tim, the insurance adjuster, I was just like, really, guys? Really?
That's right. We didn't mention that at the beginning, but he's not a Pokemon trainer. He is an insurance adjuster.
Yes. He's not even like a high up insurance adjuster. He's like super, like, cause his friend was like, oh yeah, you know, that he's talking about getting a promotion, and right. He's like, oh, you know, you'll do this. He goes, well, actually that's like two spaces up from where I'm going or something. Right. And his friend is like, I want to be happy for you, but you're making it really difficult for me.
Right.
And so, yeah, you know, I'm just thinking about that as they're skipping across the trees, and I'm just like, man, I would not survive this. But the best part is, right, why is the earth moving? Like, why is it breaking apart? Well, it turns out that the Torterra garden was a lot bigger than it appeared.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, I love that part where they're like, eyeball.
Yes. And oh my gosh, like, obviously at that point you've started to understand, like, oh wow, this is all
been experimenting on these Torterra, and they've become as big as mountains.
Yes, exactly. And so, like, the implications for that alone is really murky. But it seems like they might actually get away with it, because who's going to believe these kids? You know, who's going to believe them? I shouldn't say they're kids. Like, Tim Goodman's like 21 years old.
Yeah, they're so, young adults.
Yeah, they're definitely not kids. They're young adults. But who's literally going to believe them?
Right.
That the mountains are Torterra, especially if the Torterra don't feel like moving. Right. You know,
they just walk around like, this is a forest, dude. Not a Torterra.
Exactly.
And Pikachu gets injured during this thing.
Yes, he does. He's very badly injured.
Pikachu gets injured, and he's screaming out for help, and a bunch of Bulbasaur show up.
Yes, the Bulbasaur.
Did you see the color that they put into that Bulbasaur's eyes?
Yes, I did. That
was,
my
gosh.
Just everything, everything about the Bulbasaur.
Yes, the Bulbasaur were awesome. So a bunch of Bulbasaur showed up after, and they knew that the Pikachu was injured, and so they're like, come with us, basically. And but they didn't let Lucy go, which was kind of weird.
They're like,
no, Lucy, you can't come.
Yeah,
you can come.
We're going to, you know, basically, you know, we're going to cut you off. And so the only thing I could think of is, you know, they talk about how empathic that Pokemon are, right? And Tim even makes the, you know, Lucy says, they don't understand what you're saying, you know, and he goes, no, but they understand what I'm feeling. They know, they know what's happening. And so I think because she wasn't showing the same amount of emotion, maybe they wouldn't let her go. But obviously there was a plot reason why they didn't let her go. So I think it's reading a little much into it to be like, oh, she wasn't sad enough,
right?
You
exactly.
know, to go with them. So it was a plot vehicle.
Right, exactly. And so he follows the Bulbasaur and other Pokemon to like this rock in the river area, down like this trench.
Yeah.
And he lays Pikachu on the rock, and then all the Pokemon run away.
Yeah.
And
he's super confused.
And he's super, he's like, where are you guys going? And then who shows up? Mewtwo. All right, guys, sorry to cut it short today. It is a long interview, and that was part one. Please stay tuned for part two. I hope you guys are enjoying my interview with Ray. She is one of my best friends, and she really is passionate about Pokemon, and I thought it was really important to have her on the podcast to talk about it. So I really hope you guys are enjoying it so far. I really hope you guys download part two, because we get into much more than just Detective Pikachu. We get into the future of Pokemon and what we both think of the franchise. So I hope you guys stay tuned for that. She says it at the end of the second interview, but her Twitter tagline is @AVGMagicalGirl on Twitter. Check her out. She is a writer, so she follows a lot of writing communities. So if that's something that you're into, you know, give her a follow, like some of her tweets on there, and you know, don't forget to check out Fat Geeky Reviews on Twitter. On Instagram and on Facebook for all of my content going forward. Please make sure you subscribe. Give me a thumbs up, 5 stars. Give me a heart if that's on your podcast network. I'm on 11 different platforms. So whatever one gives me the best likes, but subscribing is the best thing. And don't forget to click that link in the description if you want to support the podcast for 99 cents a month, $4.99 a month, or $9.99 a month. It's your choice. Of course, my podcast is always free to subscribe to, but if you want to throw a little bit of money my way to help me keep going, that would be fantastic. I'd really appreciate it. Thank you guys so much for downloading. That's it for the Geek.